Thank you, choir. Thank you, worship team and praise team and all that. Wow. We've had a marvelous day of worship. Amen? Amen. And they've blessed our souls. And you guys have been true servants of the Lord today. Thank you. Thank you for sharing with all three of our services today so marvelously. And I want to invite you to take your Bibles and find 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're about to the end of this book of the Bible in a series I've called Unstoppable, His Gospel, His Church, His Coming. And really today, I want to just share a word of encouragement and a word of challenge to God's church. Because really what I want you to rejoice in today is this, is that Jesus blesses His church. He really does. In fact, Jesus told His disciples in Matthew chapter 16, He said, listen, I will build my church. I will build my church, Jesus said. In fact, remember what He did is He looks at His disciples. In fact, He kind of calls out Peter by name and He says, listen, you're Peter. And on this rock, but He doesn't point at Peter. He points at Himself. He says, on this rock I will build my church. You see, churches are built on all kinds of people and all kinds of things. But listen to me, church. Jesus builds His church. Amen? It's all about Jesus. That's why today we've sung In Christ Alone and all these songs that magnify our Lord. Jesus said, I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, the Apostle Paul wrote, for we are God's fellow workers. Listen, he says, you're God's field. You're God's building. Then in Ephesians chapter 5, oftentimes preached related to marriage, and rightly so, but don't miss the word for the church here, Ephesians 5, 25 to 27, Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her, that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that He might, listen to this, He might present the church to Himself in splendor. Did you get that? You're going to be presented to the Lord Jesus, the Bible says, in splendor, without spot, or wrinkle, or any such thing. And he says this, so that she, the church, might be holy and without blemish. You know, in all our imperfections as Christians, as people, as a church, listen to what the Scriptures tell you, church. You will be presented holy and without blemish unto the Lord. So I want to encourage you today that, listen, Jesus blesses the church. But we got to be honest. We need to be honest and today just understand this, that we still have challenges as the church. For instance, you know, the church is made up of redeemed sinners. And redeemed sinners still are having to battle the flesh. Adrian Rogers, I wrote down a couple quotes. I have a couple of his little books where he was just famous for these witty little sayings, you know. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. And I remember he one time said, the motorcycle gang, Hell's Angels, and the church are two of the only organizations in the world where you have to admit how bad you are to get to be a member. Isn't that the truth? I mean, as the church, listen, what we've all done is we've said, listen, I'm a sinner. I need Jesus. Can I join? He would go on, he would say, listen, the church isn't a museum for saints, it's a hospital for sinners. And church, never forget this. I like what he said. He said, the church isn't a showboat, the church is a battleship. We got to understand, man, listen, we're made up of redeemed sinners who we still have to battle the flesh. And if it sounds like there's a spiritual battle going on, that's the other challenge I'll just point out for the record. Listen. We face the opposition of the evil one. That is unique to us as a gathering. That is unique to us as an organization. That is unique to us as the people of God. We face the full board opposition of the evil one. But oh, listen, church, you have some supernatural resources. Don't ever forget you're the body of Christ. Don't ever forget we have the Holy Spirit. In fact, you know, a lot of people, I guess one of the first verses I would have memorized from the book of Acts would have been chapter 1, verse 8. You know, the great missions verse, you know. You'll be my witnesses under Judea, Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, all the ends of the earth, you know. Wait for His power to come upon you. But I like chapter 9, verse 31. Listen to God's word there from Acts. The Bible says, so the church throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria, listen, the church, the Bible says, had peace and was being built up. And then listen, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit was multiplied. Church, don't ever forget, we have the Holy Spirit. We also have the Word of God. Jesus in John 17, 17, prays unto the Father, sanctify them with your truth. We have spiritual gifts. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 12, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Some anonymous person said this. They said, listen, the world at its worst needs the church at its best. Church, listen to me. Don't ever forget, Jesus said, I will build my church. Young men, Jesus will build his church. We're an overcoming church. I remember one of the first old-fashioned hymns. I don't know if it was the first one, but it got my attention. I've never forgotten it. I remember in the first year of this church's existence that we sang what has really been my favorite hymn since I was a child, and that's Victory in Jesus. You know, I mean, you grew up in a Baptist church, let's just say, you're probably going to sing Victory in Jesus, right? And so they decided that they were going to do Victory in Jesus. And I remember we were in the school cafeteria. If you've ever been in the Grange Hall school cafeteria, the chairs were facing the windows. That's important because we did the chairs every which way back then, you know, and just depending on how big the crowd was and all that, we were facing the windows, right? And I remember being to the right side standing there, and they started the intro, Victory in Jesus, and they started off with something that I thought was like, what are they doing? They started off on the keyboard with something that sounded like this real serious, like cathedral-like organ music. And if you've ever sung Victory in Jesus here, you know what I'm talking about. And after about the first 30 seconds, everybody's like, well, this is really weird. This is kind of different. This doesn't sound like us. And then the next 30 seconds happened, and they just took off, man, with that song, and they'd come up with the Parkway rendition of Victory in Jesus. And I love that song because it reminds us, listen, church, don't you be discouraged. Don't you be defeated. You are overcomers, church. Amen? That's what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he closes and he just challenges the church to understand that there's a missing ingredient in so many churches. And don't miss this essential ingredient. Now, you might not think of it right off the top of your head. You know, it's important to have the right ingredients. This past week, my wife was at a Bible study with some ladies, and our 12-year-old, she came in and she said, Dad, I need your help. I got to bake some cookies for school for a project. Well, listen, in our house, usually when we make cookies, we get them in a tube and we scoop them out and put them on a pan, right? These had to be made from scratch. Now, my wife would be gracious enough to say that I'm a pretty decent cook, but I'm not really a dessert cook. And these had to be made from scratch. So Melissa and I, we go to the cupboard, and I begin to try to pull down the ingredients. And we were in pretty good shape, except it was asking for a certain amount of sticks of butter. And we went to the refrigerator, and we only had half the amount of sticks of butter we needed, but we had something next to the sticks of butter that looked like butter. And so what I did is I took that out too, and I kind of do what dads do sometimes. I just kind of guesstimated what might work, you know, and I put it in a mixing bowl, and we mixed it up, and we baked those cookies. Now, I didn't eat one of them, but I actually heard they turned out okay. You know what? Listen, it's important to have the right ingredients. It's important for a church to not miss an essential ingredient. Stand with me and honor God's word. I want you to see, starting in chapter 5, verse 12, a missing ingredient in a lot of churches. And I praise God that I think Parkway has this ingredient. Verse 12, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Here he gives them a word about their attitude towards their leaders. He goes on in verse 13, it says, be at peace among yourselves. We urge you, brothers, admonish the idle. Now he begins to talk about the rest of the membership. Admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Here he says, you need to think about your attitude with each other. And then verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. There he talks to them about the attitude and their circumstances. When you look at this passage, there's something that I want to share with you today that I think is a missing ingredient in many churches, and that is this. Because of the Lord Jesus, by the power of His Holy Spirit, church, have a positive spirit about you. Have a positive attitude when it comes to your leaders. Have a positive attitude when it comes to one another. Have a positive attitude even in the midst of life's circumstances. Now listen, this isn't some go home and be happy type sermon. This isn't the power of positive thinking sermon. That's not what this is about. But don't miss the missing ingredient in so many churches. Get it as a church. We must hold on to this because I think you have it, and that's this. We got to understand, never forget, Jesus has made us overcomers. Amen? He's made us overcomers. That means that we can have, according to Philippians chapter 2, the mind of Christ. That means this, that we, by God's grace, can have a positive spirit about us, no matter what may come our way. Oh, Father, I pray right now, Lord, that you will just help us as a church to understand these three areas mentioned right in these verses for us to have this positive attitude by your grace and for your glory, Lord. Oh, I pray you'll just empower us. Help us to understand these takeaways as we look at the Scripture. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Be seated. Now, I've given you kind of some exhortation and some encouragement. Now, let me just kind of now point out to you in chapter 5 here, in these few verses, these areas of positive attitude. First of all, understand, have a positive attitude, church. Have a positive attitude towards spiritual leaders. He says, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you. The word respect, it means to know by experience. He says, know by experience. Respect those who labor among you. You know, our church is blessed with many laborers. We need many more laborers. Jesus told us that. The harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. We need it more and more laborers. But you know what he says here? He says, listen, church, and some of them evidently were struggling with this. He says, you need to have a positive attitude towards your spiritual leaders. Why can that be so hard? Why can it be so hard, according to the Bible here, to respect those who labor among you? I'll tell you why. I think in a lot of ways we've been burned. In fact, you know, it can be hard for us to have a positive attitude towards our political leaders. Now, we're in an election season. I praise God for those who love the Lord and want to honor His purposes and His word, but a lot of us know of examples. I even think about the younger generation that, you know, it's almost just kind of become assumed that it is what it is when it comes to political leaders. I pray God will bring revival in the midst of all of that. What about business leaders? There's a lot of people who don't have a positive attitude towards their CEOs. I mean, we now have laws in place to try to protect people from investors. We've heard of the Madoff scandals and all the like. The Enrons, all those things have gone down. It can be hard to have a positive attitude because of what we've seen. And I tell you, what about the spiritual leaders? We've seen spiritual leaders crash and burn. I was sharing earlier in our church services that I know what to do to get the news cameras out here. I know what would get them here just like that. Unfortunately, they're probably not going to show up to show us teaching guys. We're not going to show up to video you serving and all that. They might, but they most likely won't. We know what it'll take, don't we? Just take one thing. One thing to discredit the spiritual leadership. It can be hard to have a positive attitude, but Paul says have a positive attitude. Have a positive attitude toward your spiritual leaders. I mean, look at what they do. It says here, they labor among you. Oh, praise God for those who labor among us. He says, and this is a challenge when it comes to our attitudes. It says, are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Sometimes it can be hard for us to have a positive attitude towards spiritual leaders because, well, maybe at work you're the boss. Maybe you own your own business. Maybe you're used to barking out the orders or what have you, and it's hard for you. Or maybe it's because your spiritual leaders, you hear that admonition. Maybe it's when you hear that conviction, when you hear that challenge of God's word. You just want to look the other way. Paul says, have a positive attitude. He says, respect those who labor among you. He says in verse 13, esteem them very highly in love. That's the Greek word agape, that godly type love because of their work. And then he says, be at peace among yourselves. Let me tell you, two threats here to having a positive attitude toward your spiritual leaders. One is disrespect. The other is disunity. Oh, guard yourselves, church, against those threats. He says here for us to esteem them highly in love. I want to thank you for something, church. I want to thank you for loving your leaders. You do that. You love your leaders. In fact, 2 weeks ago, something happened in the 11 o'clock service. Remember, let's go to the end of the service. Now, everything had gone fine the first two services, so I had no reason to think. And in 10 years of serving communion, everything had always gone off without a hitch. Now, mind you, when I told this story in the first two services, most of them didn't really know what I was talking about. A lot of y'all do, don't you? You didn't. Maybe you thought I didn't realize what went down. Well, here's from my perspective. We served the bread, the cracker, and everything was fine. And then after that, that's where it all just went downhill, all right? Now, here's from my point of view, all right? Okay? Now what happened is we thought we had run out of Lord's Supper back in the back. So we were trying to figure that piece out. And then everything just, the rest of it just kind of started happening fast for me. And I end up coming up on stage, and I had, and evidently because, and I was told this by another preacher. He said, listen, when you're preaching three times, doing something three times, the third time, your brain will make you think you've done it, all right? And so what happened is I came up here, and I thought Lord's Supper was done. I've been told you all were still holding your cups. Oh, it gets better, all right? Because here's what I was thinking. Now, listen, it had been a very moving time of worship. I was just deeply touched, had been the whole morning. And so I come up, and I just want to encourage you to praise the Lord because you're so good at that. And I say, well, church, let's just praise the Lord. Put your hands together. And this is what I hear. Now, mind you, for whatever reason, I'm not noticing you're still holding cups. And I'll confess something to you, and I need your forgiveness. I was a little bit miffed by your lack of enthusiasm. So remember what I did? Now, if you weren't here, that's what you get for missing church. And, I was like, well, come on, church, praise the Lord. And some of you, bless your hearts, I've been told, were just sitting there holding your little plastic communion cups going, I don't know who you are, brother, but Pastor Derek told me that one of you, bless your heart, even tried to put the cup right there so you could. I share all that to make a point. Now here's what happens. I'm just like, I don't know what's going on here. I go down stage. Derek catches me, and I'm already off on stage. Now we've talked about this. I told him, now next time remind me when I'm over there, right? But he just thought I know what I'm doing, right? That moment I didn't know what I was doing. I'm over here, and he says, hey, Pastor Brian, you haven't told him to take the cup. Well, by then I've prayed and said amen. And most of y'all then were like, okay, I guess it's just self-serve today. And now hear me, church. When it dawned on me what had happened. Now, my wife will tell you the whole next hour, I was just messed up. The kids were like, you'll be okay, Dad. This was communion. This was communion. This is the Lord's Supper. And I just flaked out, kind of. Well, I'll tell you what didn't happen. I didn't get a phone call. I didn't get an email. I didn't get a gentle note from some dear saint reminding me of the proper protocol for communion in a Baptist church. You know, I remember later that evening, I called old Peter, a buddy of mine, And I said, we were talking and everything was just cool. I said, well, don't you have anything you want to say to me about this morning? And he was like, what? I'm like, well, you know, what went down with the Lord's Supper? He just started laughing and laughing and laughing. And he just basically told me, I love you, brother. Church, I want to thank you for having such a positive attitude towards your leaders. I love you for that. Paul wrote this to the Galatians in chapter 4 of Galatians. He said, and though my condition was a trial to you, I've probably been a trial to some of y'all. He said, you didn't scorn or despise me. Listen to what he says. He says, you received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. What then has become of your blessedness? For I testify to you that if possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. You know what, folks? For the past 10 years, you have given us your backs, your strength, your arms, your talents, your tithes, your time. But I know why you do it. Because we've talked. Because we know each other. You do it because of Jesus. I know why you do it. So thank you most of all for having such a positive attitude towards your spiritual leader, who is our Lord Jesus. Amen. You know, the second little area, and I'll just kind of point it out to you here. He goes on. Now he kind of goes broader. He says, be at peace among yourselves. Verse 14, and we urge you. And then he kind of like walks through some descriptions of some people in church. He says, admonish the idle, or that would be the disorderly or the undisciplined. Literally, it was used to describe people in an army who kind of marched to the beat of their own drum, to a soldier who didn't know how to march with the rest of the army. He says, hey, listen, you're going to have some folks like that in church. You're just going to have to admonish them. He says, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, or hang on, literally, to the weak. And then he says, be patient with them all. You see, he tells us here, there are going to be folks in the church, sometimes they're just going to be disorderly. They're just not going to seem to get with the program. They're just going to kind of march to the beat of their own drum. He says, there are going to be people in the church who are discouraged. Sometimes they're quitters in the church family. The King James says we need to comfort them. That means to come alongside and to encourage them and to talk with them. Then he talks about the weak. It's the idea of a person there who's kind of dependent, and they're just struggling in their faith. And literally, it's the idea, listen, when you can't hang on, brother or sister, we're going to hang on to you. And then lastly, it's just the people I put in the category of different. The older I get, every now and then I say, well, they're different. You know any people that are just different? You know what he says? Listen, don't miss it. He says, be patient with them all. You know what makes a church work? Patience goes a long way. It's what helps. Then he says something else. He goes on. He says, see that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. You know what also we got to keep in mind as a church, if you're going to have a positive attitude with other people, is this. Sometimes it'll dawn on you that you've been doing some ministry, serving in some way, it seems like, for a long time, and it's like no one has ever even said a thank you. You know what he says? He says, listen, don't repay that with evil. You just keep on doing good. Folks, that's why we got to remember as a church family, we don't do this only for anyone else other than the Lord Jesus, okay? Church is a tough place to come and serve if your main reason for doing it is to hear a lot of thanks and to get a lot of pats on the back, because sometimes, folks, it happens and sometimes it doesn't. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be grateful. We should. We sure should. I'm just trying to encourage those of you who sometimes feel the other side of that. Oh, be positive. Be positive. Remember who you do it for. Be patient. Watch your motivations. And then finally, verse 16, we read, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. Here, listen, be positive. Have a positive attitude in your circumstances. Now here's a simple little recipe. Always joyful, always prayerful, always thankful. He says, rejoice always. Remember Pastor Daniel last week? Daniel Simmons in this church service, he talked about having the joy of Jesus, having that Jesus joy. That's what I'm talking about. Well, how do you develop that? How can you rejoice always? Well, then comes praying without ceasing. You see, sometimes our circumstances worry us. And literally in the Greek language, that phrase, pray without ceasing, it's the idea of having kind of a nagging cough, kind of a hacking cough, like you're just kind of... Now, I battle asthma from time to time, and that's a sign that I'm wrestling with my asthma, is every now and then just kind of have that little in my throat. Here's a way to think about your circumstances. When you feel the tickle of worry in your life, cough a prayer, church. Cough a prayer. And then always thankful. And it's interesting, don't miss the little word in the Scripture. It says here in the Scripture, give thanks in all your circumstances, not for all your circumstances. You give thanks in them. He's not saying give thanks for them. You give thanks in them. Because don't forget, you belong to Jesus and He's building you. He's building His church. Oh, and then I like verse 19, and I'll close with that. He says, do not quench the Spirit. Now, something happened here this week that you might not have realized. We had a fire. We did. Actually, what happened is the fire department came earlier this week and wanted to do a fire drill with your staff. So they actually went outside and they deliberately set a fire and trained your staff in how to put out a fire. They looked at checked the extinguishers and all that. They had the whole fire department was here, you know, from the local station, and it was just a big time. And you see them there doing that. But I want to use that to make a point. Church family, listen. Don't ever, ever put out the fire of the Holy Spirit in this church. Don't ever put out the fire. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't put the blanket of pride or stubbornness on the Holy Spirit in this church and smolder the fire. Don't pour the cold water of unbelief and a lack of faith on the fire of the Holy Spirit. Here's the challenge, church. Don't quench the Spirit. Stoke the fire. Stoke the fire. Amen? Amen. I want to invite you to pray with me. And then what we're going to do is our service is going to conclude like this. I'm going to be down front. Pastor Derek and the team, Jonathan and the guys are going to lead us in a song in all things. And then what we're going to do after that time of response, if you'd like to come and talk with someone about trusting Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, I'll be down front waiting for you. Also, what will happen is if you'd like to come and talk with us about becoming a part of this church family, we'd love to talk with you. And then what we're going to do is we're going to close our service today singing that great song of praise, our proclamation as a church that Jesus saves. So I'm going to let the choir and the worship folks all get themselves settled. Then I'm going to lead us in prayer. And then they're going to call us to remember in all things to put our faith, our trust in the Lord Jesus. Oh, folks, isn't it good to be in His church? Amen. May God give us that right attitude towards whatever we encounter in life. Father, I pray right now that You'll move among us now. I pray You'll encourage this church family. They've been such an encouragement to me. Lord, I know You love these people. God, I thank You for loving me. God, thank You for what You have allowed my eyes to see. Oh, God, thank You for the plans You have for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.